Welcome to KDNK's Weekly Newsreel,
a news magazine that takes a look at the week's top local and regional news stories aired on KDNK between Monday and Friday. Subscribe to our podcast and give us a review on iTunes. If you have a tip on something you'd like the KDNK news team to cover, send it to news@kdnk.org. All submissions are confidential. The weekly newsreel is underwritten by RJ Paddywax Pet Outfitters, next to City Market in Elgebel, open 7 days a week. More info at 970-963-1700 or rjpaddywax.com.
I'm Amy Haddon Marsh, your host.
Governor Jared Polis signed an executive order cutting government spending by $229 million during the coronavirus pandemic. Most of the cuts are from the Medicaid program. Polis says the state does not have enough in its reserves to maintain its current budget while responding to the virus outbreak. Polis also extended the closures of ski areas to May 23rd, banned evictions for 30 days, and directed more money to nursing homes during the pandemic. Plummeting oil and gas tax revenues and a state budget thrashed by the coronavirus pandemic means water projects in Colorado are facing a financial double whammy, reports BloombergLaw.com. Sports gambling, which launched in the state Friday, is supposed to provide supplemental funding for the Colorado Water Plan, but state water and gaming officials say that's a long shot. The state's population was 5 million in 2015 and is projected to double over the next 3 or 4 decades, according to the Colorado Water Plan, which needs $100 million annually, or $3 billion by 2050, starting this year. Glenwood's Downtown Market and Music Series will open in its new 7th Street location on June 23rd, 2 weeks later than originally planned. The Post-Independent reports the market will carry on with noticeable adjustments for COVID-19, including no live music or artisans, just food and non-alcoholic beverages. Booths will be positioned 6 feet apart, and hot food vendors will only be allowed to serve offerings on the go. Event organizers also say crowd sizes will need to be limited. Other major events, including Strawberry Days Festival and Glenwood's 4th of July celebration, have been officially canceled.
Despite the Stage 1 fire ban on the White River National Forest Service and Bureau of Land Management land in western Colorado, an illegal campfire ignited a wildfire about 11 miles south of Carbondale this week. The Post-Independent reports that a heavy helicopter and 15 firefighters were on the scene Tuesday. They contained the fire after it burned close to 4 acres. Eagle County is now under Stage 2 fire restrictions. The City of Aspen, Snowmass Village, and the Roaring Fork Transportation Authority will receive $10 million for transportation from the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security, or CARES Act. The Aspen Times reports that Aspen's Transportation Department will receive $1.7 million, Snowmass Village $500,000, and Rafta will get $8.4 million. Colorado received more than $350 million for rural areas from CARES. Colorado has more than 400 craft breweries, and thanks to COVID closures, those breweries, plus distributors, bars, and restaurants, could end up dumping thousands of kegs of beer. The Denver Post reports that brewers stocked bars and restaurants for St. Patrick's Day and baseball's opening day, but kegged beer only lasts about 3 months. Nationally, some $900 million worth of beer could be lost due to the pandemic.
The 34th Ride the Rockies is yet another casualty of the COVID-19 pandemic. The Denver Post reports that the event, which was to begin June 14th, has been postponed until 2021. Organizers say next year's route will be the same as was planned for this year, which is centered in southern Colorado. Pedal the Plains, scheduled for September, has also been postponed until next year. Ride the Rockies will have a series of virtual challenges next month on the days that the tour was scheduled. Pitkin County has hired Bob Schultz, a Carbondale-based consultant, to help with guidelines for local businesses as they reopen. The Aspen Daily News reports that Schultz has worked with municipalities in the Roaring Fork Valley, plus the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. Schultz is also a KDNK DJ and has served on the station's board of directors.
Many Americans are receiving a stimulus check from the federal government. For countless families living in our country, however, this and other sources of aid are unavailable due to their immigration status. Local nonprofit incubator Manaus established an emergency relief fund to serve those excluded from Parachute to Aspen. KDNK's Raleigh Burley has this report.
Since mid-March, more than 30 million Americans have filed for unemployment benefits. This staggering figure does not even approximate the full picture of our unfolding economic crisis. This is because many of the families that have been most affected by closures do not qualify for this or other forms of governmental assistance.
So undocumented folks can't get Medicaid, can't get the federal stimulus check, and for that matter, neither can their U.S. citizen children or spouses.
Sophia Clark forms part of Sanctuary Unidos, an immigrant advocacy group born of the Two Rivers Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Carbondale.
And then we've seen, even at the local level, our county having restrictions about who receives their aid.
Concern for how all families fare through this crisis led Sophia to investigate what people were doing around the country. She discovered a mutual aid group in the Four Corners region organizing the redistribution of federal stimulus checks to persons excluded from other sources of aid.
There are families out there who've lost their entire income and have kids to support, and we really think that the government should be providing aid to everyone to get through this crisis. But until they do that, it's really important for the community to make sure we don't leave anyone out.
Sanctuary Unidos has made a form available to facilitate the redistribution of people's stimulus checks locally using the Manaus Emergency Fund, which accepts donations of all sizes.
People are donating from like $50 to their stimulus checks to, we've had, you know, like a $4,000 donation as well.
Jeanette Niebla works for Manaus, a nonprofit management center based in Carbondale. With support from Valley Settlement, Aspen Community Foundation, and Colorado Trust, in addition to many other donors, this fund has made hundreds of thousands of dollars available to families in need from Parachute to Aspen. The funds are distributed using La Medici, a savings and credit club incubated within Manaus to teach financial literacy.
We have La Medici as one of our projects and really thought, because of the way that it's set up, that it would be the easiest, quickest way to get money directly to people. We also thought that it would be a great opportunity to hand out emergency money in this moment, but say that hopefully, you know, when things calm down and we're hopefully back to normal and people are working again, that they would be able to save with La Medici and learn about financial literacy and about healthy saving habits.
As La Medici creator and team leader Barbara Freeman explains, an associated app quickly delivers the aid, $950 immediately available per family, with $50 deposited into savings with La Medici for the added opportunity of financial education.
With Manaus La Medici, what we're trying to do is make sure people are okay now, you know, as okay as we can help. But that future piece, I think, differentiates us from some of the other, you know, assistance programs that are out there.
Another thing that sets this program apart from others is that Manaus does not require extensive paperwork nor proof of need. After filling out a basic online form, applicants are connected with an ambassador for an interview during which they are informed that these are one-time funds per family, prioritizing people most in need and without access to other resources.
We decided to just take on this sort of like emergency mindset and understand that we are in an emergency and trust and believe, you know, in the best in people and what they're going through.
Donor and Carbondale resident PC Drew agrees that extending trust is essential, especially during times of crisis.
The community that needs public assistance, whether they qualify for it or not, it's still the same community in this sense, doesn't trust systems, because the systems fail them time and time and time and time again.
Drew hopes to see local governments consider Manaus and La Medici as a resource for distributing aid more broadly, while also gaining a fuller understanding of the state of our local economies.
I really hope that our town and county leadership are looking at the whole picture, using this kind of information in addition to their own information to understand the entire community. Because any way we slice it, regardless of your immigration status, regardless of the color of your skin, you're a human, you're here, and you shouldn't be too poor to live.
For Gloria, who was unable to work in March due to the governor's stay-at-home order, receiving funds from this program made possible paying her rent while supporting her two daughters.
Estoy sumamente agradecida con el programa, sumamente agradecida con la comunidad.
Figuring out how we come together as a community in this time means that we get to know our neighbors and we get to watch our neighbors' kids grow up and we get to be invested in each other's lives for the long term, which feels really important to me.
Jess Hedden, a resident of Newcastle, decided to donate despite her own challenges because she recognizes that there are families more in need than her own.
You know, having two kids and a full-time job, I'm now without childcare, but I still have a lot of privilege in terms of like class privilege and also being able to work from home and having kept my job. Of course, having an extra $1,200 would be awesome, but I just definitely see the need to give where I can at this point and to try to hold the community together as much as possible.
This program has served hundreds of families already, but the demand continues to climb.
Every single day, we get a minimum of 100 more applicants.
That's Barbara Freeman again, describing the response they're seeing at La Medici.
Demand is outstripping the amount that's coming in, even though personal individuals are so generous and giving on a regular basis. And our donors are so generous that the demand is huge.
Supporters of this fund can donate directly at manaus.org. That's M-A-N-A-U-S. At kdnk.org, you will also find a link to the local stimulus check redistribution form created by Sanctuary Unidos.
Les estamos muy, muy agradecidos toda la comunidad de que piensan en nosotros también. Muchísimas gracias.
For KDNK News, I'm Raleigh Burley.
As of May 8th, the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment reported 18,827 confirmed cases of COVID-19 statewide, with 960 deaths, up from 15,768 cases the week before and 820 deaths. The Garfield County Public Health Department reports 106 cases and 2 deaths as of May 7th. Eagle County reports 554 cases, Mesa County 58 cases, Pitkin County 54, and Rout County 58 cases. In Garfield County, 31.7% of confirmed cases live in Glenwood Springs, 23.1% in Newcastle, a little over 20% in Carbondale, 11.5% in Rifle, and 8.7% in Silt. The virus is hitting 20 to 29-year-olds in the county more than any other age group. 34.9% are Hispanic or Latino, and 65.1% are non-Hispanic. The Colorado Public Interest Research Group, or COPIRG, is calling on Governor Jared Polis to keep Colorado's stay-at-home order in place beyond this weekend. In a press release, the Consumer Watchdog Group says the state is not meeting guidelines laid out by public health experts, including the Colorado Association of Local Public Health Officials and Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, around testing, tracking, and the number of new cases per day. To begin to relax stay-at-home rules, the group says 5 key indicators must be met, including comprehensive testing, the ability to track, trace, and quarantine new COVID-19 cases, a sustained decrease in cases over 14 days, and the hospital capacity to treat patients. You can find Garfield, Eagle, and Pitkin County reopening requirements at county websites. Since the coronavirus pandemic forced much of the U.S. economy into a medically induced coma, 30 million Americans have filed for unemployment insurance, including more than 350,000 in Colorado. Eric Galatis reports.
Utility companies have agreed to suspend service shutoffs, but they are still sending bills and expecting payments. Denise Steptoe with Energy Outreach Colorado says for many Coloradans, it's the first time they haven't been able to cover all their monthly expenses.
If you are struggling to pay your rent, you are then struggling to afford or find food and afford food. The third thing we hear is that people then start to think about their utility bill. I don't know how much money is left at the end of all of that.
Steptoe says people should pay whatever they can now to avoid possible balloon payments when shutoffs resume. And she says it's also a good idea to reach out to your utility provider to create a payment plan. Her group has also sent out postcards with tips for conserving energy, which can be a challenge as kids tap laptops for homeschooling and game consoles while stuck at home. Conservation is no stranger to older Coloradans whose parents lived through the Great Depression, but it can be a new concept for younger generations. Steptoe says common sense steps can make a big difference. Use cold water whenever possible to avoid fueling the water heater, and hang clothes outside to dry if possible. Lower the thermostat and put on a sweater during spring's cold snaps, and shut blinds as summer nears.
I think in these times where we feel like everything is out of our control, this is something where we can actually take control. Look at your bill and watch it going down.
Assistance through the federal low-income energy assistance program meant to help families with high winter bills has been extended from April to August. Families needing help can also sign up through Energy Outreach Colorado's Bill Payment Assistance Program, which can now offer two grants in 2020. This is Eric Galatis reporting for KDNK.
You're listening to the Weekly News Reel, featuring top stories aired between Monday and Friday. In-kind support comes from Grassroots Community Network, promoting civic participation through civil discourse, creative endeavors, and cultural interaction. Grassroots TV also partners with KDNK to air live Pitkin County public health and community meetings. More info at grassrootstv.org.
And in other news, Glenwood Springs City officials and the Glenwood Springs Citizens Alliance hosted a forum this week about timelines related to the proposed expansion of the Mid-Continent Limestone Quarry.
Today, we're going to update you on the background and current status of the proposed mine expansion by Rocky Mountain Industrial, RMI, formerly known as Rocky Mountain Resources, or RMR.
Glenwood Springs City Manager Deborah Figueroa joined City Attorney Carl Hanlon and Glenwood Springs Citizen Alliance Director Jeff Peterson for a Facebook forum this week about the proposed expansion of the Mid-Continent Limestone Quarry just north of town. Figueroa reminded viewers of some of the impacts of the proposed expansion.
It calls for increasing limestone production from 100,000 tons a year to 500,000 tons a year. It expands the approved site from 15.7 acres to 447 acres. This is a proposed 7-day a week operation, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, with blasting permitted from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. daily.
The Bureau of Land Management requires Rocky Mountain Industrials to drill monitoring bores to test for water impacts before the agency can begin an environmental review of the proposal. An additional environmental assessment, or EA, must be completed before those test bores are drilled.
The city and county have been working with the Bureau of Land Management on this environmental analysis and advocating for the protection of our aquifer that supplies hot water for the Hot Springs Pool and Iron Mountain Hot Springs.
BLM expects a draft EA soon and will have a public meeting in June. The agency recently announced that the draft analysis on the proposal has been pushed back to 2021.
Before it can begin, the Bureau of Land Management stated that the following must occur or be almost complete. The hydrology study I just went over, an ethnographic study of cultural resources of the area in consultation with all three Ute Native American tribes, a cave study of impacted areas, and a determination of limestone and dolomite quality and intended end use for the product under the 1872 mining law.
City Attorney Carl Hanlon said that BLM has taken a position over the years that it cannot deny applications filed under the 1872 mining law. He added that one of the critical issues in the case of the quarry expansion is to determine the quality of the limestone and if mining is cost effective. Hanlon also talked about current litigation in which Garfield County and the city are involved.
Going back to April of 2019, about a year ago, there was a hearing in front of Garfield County commissioners regarding a notice of violation on five different areas that Garfield County believed the operators of the mine, RMR then, now RMI, were violating their county permits. Now, in response to that, even though at the hearing, the company said, look, we're here, we're good neighbors, we're going to work this out. Shortly thereafter, they filed two lawsuits against Garfield County, one in federal court, one in state court. And in those lawsuits, essentially they alleged in the big picture that the county didn't have the authority to regulate them at all.
That suit has been stayed in federal court and is currently being litigated in state court. The city of Glenwood Springs recently filed a motion to intervene in support of the county and the city's own interests. Hanlon said that the outcome of the state lawsuit could have national implications.
For a long time, there has been the concept of concurrent jurisdiction between federal land management agencies and local jurisdictions like the county on public lands when they are undertaking activities like this mine. If RMI were successful, that would completely remove the voice of local governments and locals from the process by which these permits are issued and how we regulate these operators.
Garfield County recently filed a second permit violation against RMI and is considering changes to county mining regulations. Hanlon said if the county approves the new regulations, it could have an impact on the proposed quarry expansion.
If they file an expansion application, which they currently will need to, probably at the end of the process with the BLM, then those new 1041 regulations would apply to the expansion of the quarry. And so the county would have much better tools with which to address the potential impacts and the very real impacts that we're concerned about inside of the city.
The Garfield County Commissioners will hold a public hearing on the new mining regulations on Monday, May 11th at 1 p.m. You can tune in from the Garfield County website. You can also find the entire Glenwood Springs Facebook forum on the City of Glenwood Springs Facebook page. Testing test. A public letter penned to Garfield County Commissioners asked that county resources be made more inclusive during times of crisis and otherwise. Beatriz Soto, founding board member of Voces Unidas de las Montañas, explains the new organization's purpose and its requests of local government.
At Voces Unidas, what we want to do is create opportunity for leaders and for Latinos to speak and advocate for themselves.
Beatriz Soto is a founding board member for Voces Unidas de las Montañas, a newly formed organization in the Roaring Fork Valley by and for Latinos.
Voces Unidas means united voices. What we want to do is create opportunity for Latinos to advocate for themselves.
Roaring Fork Latino Network, an initiative of Voces Unidas, recently penned a letter to Garfield County Commissioners published in the Post-Independent. The letter includes three asks.
That all information is shared in both languages, that access to funds and relief can be administrative through our government. Other counties in Colorado have figured out a way to do that. And then the other request is that community clinics that don't require health insurance can still continue to serve all the community, especially during this crisis.
An online petition formalizing these asks is at Voces Unidas. That's VOCESUNIDAS.org. The website also offers bilingual resources, including information about COVID-19 and local assistance programs.
This is a health emergency. Everybody should be able to access information.
Another service developed by Voces Unidas is a 24-hour texting hotline to help non-English speakers navigate accessing aid. Within 24 hours of launching, more than 250 Latinos from Parachute to Aspen reached out for help. This campaign is currently accepting volunteers and donations, fulfilling a necessity left underattended by Garfield County and other local governments.
There's so many great resources. There's so many talented people in our community that can easily be employed by our government to make sure that all the efforts that they do are culturally and linguistically appropriate so they can truly serve all the community that lives in Garfield County.
For KDNK News, I'm Raleigh Burley.
At Monday's meeting, Garfield County Commissioners discussed an ordinance that would ban fireworks for a year, except between May 31st and July 5th. But if high fire danger exists, the ban could include the month of June through the 4th of July weekend. According to an agenda item summary, Garfield County Sheriff Lou Valario and the emergency manager requested that the board adopt the ban, stating that it's necessary for the, quote, immediate preservation of public health and safety, end quote. The sheriff's emergency manager supports the ban, stating in the memo that national agencies' predictions indicate a high fire danger over the summer and that fireworks would increase the burden on emergency response teams already stressed by the COVID-19 pandemic. The Post-Independent reports that the ban would apply to personal use of fireworks, but not public displays or the commercial sale or possession of legal fireworks in the unincorporated parts of the county. The city of Glenwood Springs substituted 4th of July fireworks with a laser show in 2018 and 2019 and has canceled this year's celebration due to the pandemic. Pitkin and Garfield counties are on Stage 1 fire restrictions, as are BLM lands in the area. Eagle County implemented Stage 2 fire restrictions Tuesday afternoon. The proposed Garfield County fireworks ban could come before the county commissioners for formal adoption on May 18th. And finally, the pandemic is sparking a worldwide increase of vivid dreams, with themes like noxious gas, rolling giant eyeballs, being trapped in a perpetually falling elevator, and not being able to find your mask. People are sharing them on websites like I Dream of COVID and across social media. Here's more.
Strange dreams are making the rounds. Deirdre Barrett is a leading dream researcher and author at Harvard, and she's collecting dreams happening during the pandemic.
Especially early on, I saw a lot of dreams about getting the virus. The person would be having trouble breathing or spiking a fever. Then there are metaphors for the virus, of which one huge subcluster are dreams about bug attacks.
She adds that while many people may be dreaming more because of stress, it could also be because they're finally getting enough sleep.
Our last dream period of the night is the longest, and it's associated with the most vivid dreams. So you're losing proportionally more of your dreams and kind of your most dramatic ones.
If you want to add your dream to Barrett's scientific survey, search for her name on SurveyMonkey or look for the link on our website. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Madeline Beck.
That does it for this week's newsreel on KDNK. All of our stories and more are at kdnk.org. The Weekly Newsreel is a news magazine that takes a look at the week's top local and regional news stories aired on KDNK between Monday and Friday. Subscribe to our podcast and give us a review on iTunes. If you have a tip on something you'd like the KDNK news team to cover, send it to news@kdnk.org. All submissions are confidential. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh. Thanks for listening and have a great week.